Okay, we're starting here at the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Gemara is just continuing or finishing up the sugya about Shechitos and Nipul, Mitos and Nipul. Here we have a story on the first line of the Gemara. Yotiv Rav Yosef Kameid Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Yehuna. But Yotiv Vekamar was sitting and saying, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. So he's quoting something in the name of Rav. Achlu deze lokeh. If he eats this, he gets Malkot. Amar Lei Haumi Rabbonon. There was another Rabbonon sitting there. Lota Titule. Says, don't listen to Rav Yosef. Achi Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei de Rav. So again, in the name of Rav. Achlu deze Eino lokeh. If he eats this, then he doesn't get Malkot. The this that they're talking about is an Iver HaMeduldal. It's a limb that's hanging off the animal. And the question is the status of this limb. So you can see here possible problems arising about whether it's Osa Nipul or no Osa Nipul. But they're both quoting from the name of Rav. So I'm really Rav Huna. Anan Aman Nismach. Who do we rely on now? I have two people giving memrot in the name of Rav. Who should I rely on? I do know Rav Yosef Lapey. So maybe because of like what Joel was saying, Rav Yosef turned his face away. He was really upset that Rav Huna would even question Rav Yosef's Misora in Amr Yehuda Merav. Amalei, my kushya. Rav Yosef says, what's the question? Ki amre ono bimito dos enipul. When I said that you're going to get malkut for this, that's because I was talking about a case where the animal dies. Where the animal dies, it's mita osenipul, and therefore this organ, this limb severs from the behema, and it has a status of Eiver Min Achai. So Rashi says the nafkamini, meaning what do you have to be matre for malkot? What do you have to warn him for if he's going to eat it? To lo mishum nevela matrin bay, el mishum Eiver Min Achai. That's what you have to give the hatra, and that's a nafkamina. Gilian Ashas, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, he says there are simpler nafkaminot over here, including that what happens if the Eiver itself is a kazayit? Whole Eiver is a kazayit, but the basar is only a chatzi kazayit. So by nevela, it'll have no impact, because you need a kazayit to basar by nevela. By Eiver Min Achai, it will have impact, because it's a whole Eiver. As long as there's an Eiver, there's Eiver Min Achai. So that's another nafkamino. As well as, he says, Lahushit the Ben Noach. A Ben Noach has an Isur of Eiver Min Achai. Doesn't have an Isur of Nevela. So to make a difference also of Mita Osa Nipul for Eiver Min Achai versus Nevela. So the Rekiv Eger brings two other additional Nafkaminot between them. He says, I don't know why Rashi went to Hatra'ah. Says there are really so many Nafkaminot that you could have just between Eiver Min Achai and Nevela. Right, so that's a good point, which is that Rashi's addressing the Gemara statement, which is Rav Yosef and this Rabbanan were arguing about Loka and Eloka. So Rashi continues that process. So Kimar Ihu, that Rabbanan, he said it, Bishchita deno senipul. He was saying that it doesn't require because that was Shechita, and Shechita eno senipul. So it remains a part and parcel of the animal. And then again, if it's a treifa, it'll be Meteher Midei Nevela. If it's a kosher animal, then you could eat it. Technically Midoraita. There is a din derabonon that you can't eat it, which we learned about yesterday. So Rav Yosef was upset that Rav Huna would even question his misora, says he just didn't understand the nuance between the two. Yes, both statements of Rav are correct, but they're dealing with different issues. An Eiver Meduldal that comes off of a mita is osenipul. And therefore, there's a problem of malkot, there's other issues that arise of Eiver Min Achai, whereas Shechita ain't osenipul. And that's what this other rabbonon was speaking about. So Amar Rava, Menaha Milta, Tomer Rabbonon. Where do we know this from? Mita osenipul, Shechita ain't osenipul. So far, we've taken for granted that statements from Rav, whether it was from Reish Lakish, whether it's from Yochanan, now from Rabbi Yehuda Rav, through Rabbi Yosef, we've taken it for granted that these are true. But where do they know that? What's the source for this? So dichtiv, it says, v'chol she'ipol alav mehem bimotam yitma. Anything that falls from them upon it in their death will be mitameh. So this pasuk is talking about the sheretz in Parshat Shmini. It says, when in their death, if a portion of it falls onto something, yitma. The mutemai, what does that come to exclude? Idleim ali mutei b'chayehem, if it comes to exclude while they're alive, min nivlatam nafka. We already know that because the pasuk says that we're talking about the nevela of a sheretz. We're talking about a dead sheretz. We're not talking about a live sheretz. Elishma mina mita osenipul. Must be that mita makes as if it's severed or something comes off. Vein shchita osenipul. And there is no shchita osenipul. So that's what they learned from this, that mita has the word chol she ipol alav bimotam. So there's nefila by mita. There is no nefila by shchita. We learned out of the pasuk because that's somewhat extraneous. Bimotam, we know, of course, it's bimotam because pasuk says binivlatam. The only time it shares is mitameh is when it's a neveva. So we already know we're dealing with quote unquote a carcass. We're dealing with a dead animal. So what is this motam coming to teach you? It must be modifying the po. When is it nifila? When there's mita. Well, that comes to the exclusion of shchita. So therefore, mita osinipo and shchita osinipo. Beautiful limud, except for the fact that that pasuk is written by a sheretz. And a sheretz never requires shchita. So how could you exclude shchita from a sheretz? So that's what Amar Leir Vada Rav Lerova. Vahakra b'shvatzim tiv. Says the pasuk is talking about shvatzim. What does it have to do with shchita at all? How could you exclude shchita from a sheretz? Amar Leir, imenu inyan l'shvatzim. True, and Elchanami, by Shvatzim it would have no bearing, but that's the whole point. It's not necessary by Shvatzim. So since it's not necessary by Shvatzim, therefore we move it over to something that does require Shchita, and things that do require Shchita will say Mito Senipul, Shchita Eno Senipul. He is utilizing the principle of Amin Inyan Lezet, Neo Dinyan Acher, Vekatimi Boile. We still need that pasuk to teach us something else, which is ke'ein mita, that they have to be similar to death. L'chim mitamim, yveshim ein mitamim. While they are still moist, while they are equivalent to what the status they were in at the point of death, then they are mitameh. If they dry out, they are no longer mitameh. So here you have bimotam. What does it mean, bimotam? Bimotam teaches me that they have to be in the status or stage they were bimotam. So now I don't have this extraneous or extra bimotam. I learned from nidlatam, yes, eno chanami, a sheretz is only mitame when it's dead. So I might not have needed this bimotam, but I do need this bimotam. This bimotam teaches me that this sheretz must be moist like it was at the time of death. Otherwise it's not mitame. So I just lost my extra bimotam. When it says, don't worry about that, trei bimotam tive. The word bimotam is written twice. So since it's written twice in the pasuk, bimotam, one of them will use to teach us that it has to be moist, like the time of death. And the other bimotam will teach us that it is only nifila bimita and not shchita bimita. So bimotam and lamed aleph will use for teach us that it's about moisture, that they have to be still moist in order to be mitame. And then bimotam and lamed bet, which is next to nifila, will teach us this din that mita osen nifila bein shchita osen nifila. So I'm Rav Chisda. So now we have machloket be'ever de'ubar chai. Machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah only relates to an ever of an ubar chai. Aval be'ever de'ubar mate, divrei akol shchita osenipul. Everybody thinks then that shchita is osenipul, that the shchita has no bearing on this ever. As opposed to an ever of an ubar chai, where there's a machloket Chachamim and Rabbi Meir as to whether the shchita is mitaheret this aver or not mitaher this aver, because there we can consider it attached still. But if the ubar is already dead, then divrei akol shchita osenipul, and the shchita has no bearing on the aver, it will not be mitaheret even according to the chachamim. The rabba amar, kemachloket bezeh, kach machloket bezeh. We're not going to differentiate. We're not going to make any distinction. Whether the ubar is mate, whether the ubar is chai, it's going to be irrelevant. Shchita, according to the Chachamim, will be mitaheret midei nevela, whereas, according to Rabbi Meir, shchita will not be mitaheret midei nevela. Tosfos says that this case must be talking about a ben chet, because by a ben tet chai, we're going to see in the Mishnah that Rabbi Meir says that it needs a full-fledged shchita. So this whole machloka has to be about a ben chet. Right now the Gemara goes back to what we saw in our Mishnah, which is ben shmona chai. The last line in the Mishnah is that if it's a ben shmona chai, it's an 8-month-old fetus, calf fetus, that is born prematurely. Gemara assumes that that cannot survive. So based on the logic that we had put forth in the Mishnah, the ben shmona chai, shchita cannot help it, because ein b'mino shchita. No 8-month-old fetus can ever have shchita be mitaheret or help it, because shchita just doesn't work on that. V'hatanya. Now the Gemara challenges that and says, is that really true? That by ben shmona chai, shchita has no bearing. Ben shmona chai yochiach. This is from Torah Kohanim. And by Torah Kohanim it says, ben shmona chai yochiach, sh'af opish yesh b'mino shchita. Prove it ben shmona chai, even though yesh b'mino shchita. Even though when it's mina shchita, ein shchita mitarato. So that would be like the equivalent of a continuation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, ben shmona chai, it's a given that shchita will not work on it, because there is no shchita with a shmona chai anywhere, period. Here we have the Braita in Torah Kohanim, which says, yes, there is. There is shechita on a ben shmona chai. And from that I can prove to you that even though something has shechita b'mino, like a treifa, nevertheless, shechita ain't mitaharato. The Torah Kohanim agrees that shechita does not work on a ben shmona chai. But now it looks exactly like treifa. Treifa, yesh b'mino shechita. And you're trying to suggest, therefore, that shechita mitaharato. Over here, a ben shmona chai that has shechita b'mino, and nevertheless, it's ein mitaharato. So that logic breaks down. So Amar Avkano, yesh b'mino shechito agavimo. Let's understand that even the Torah Kohanim does not believe that a ben shmona chai in and of itself can have shechita. They are suggesting that if it was inside its mother's womb, and you had done shechita on the mother's shechita would be effective on the ubar. So the shechita b'imo, b'mino, al yedei imo. Betona didan, and then therefore in our Mishnah, our Tano, mino diime lo porich. The mother's shechita is not relevant. We're talking about b'mino, it itself. This isn't it itself, this is the mother. Well, the high Tano. So according to that Tano in Torah Kohanim, the porich, treifa de shechita ta mitaharata minole. According to that Tano, where does he know the fact that shechita by a treifa works? Because if he now says that the logic broke down, before we said we should compare anything that is asur ba'achila to a behema tmeya. Just like a behema tmeya that's asur ba'achila is also tamei tumat nevela, so too anything that is asur ba'achila, like a treifa, should also be mitama tumat nevela. The Gemara broke that logic by saying, by the case of a behema tmeya in bemino shechita. Whereas by a treifa, yesh bemino shechita. Now, our Gemara then brought ben shmona chai down, not as a disproof to that, but upholding that logic. Ben shmona chai, which does not bemino have shechita, therefore, shechita is never mitaharet. On the other hand, in Torah Kohanim, they bring ben shmona chai to undermine that logic. They say, you want to suggest that treifa is different than a behema tmea? I'll disprove that. You have a ben shmona chai that has bemino shechita, and yet shechita doesn't work by it. So their logic breaks down. If the logic breaks down, we're back to square one. Back to square one means I'm going to compare a treifa to a behema tmea. And I'm going to say a treifa should also have a problem of tamei tumat nevela. If that's the case, where does he know that from? Where does the Tana and Torah Kohanim know that shechita is mitaharet at that treifa? So nafkalei merv dihudo amarav. Damri yudo amarav. Varmi lo bimatita tanam. We have a breita that supports this. Amarkra. V'chi yamut mina behema. Mina behema. Mipsat behema mitama. Mipsat behema inu mitama. Some behemot are mitame. And some are not. Bezuzu. What's the distinction? Zu treifa sheshachta. The distinction will be between a treifa that has shechita and a treifa that does not have shechita or mita. So there are certain behemot that will not be mitama, certain that will. The exception will be treifa sheshachta. And that's where Torah Kohanim learns it out from. It's interesting. Tosafot, it's just a very funny Tosafot. He says over here, the high tana de parach treifa de shechita mitaharata minola. He says, ktsatema, to kula chada breita hi. It's all one breita in Torah Kohanim. V'yada reisha v'loyada seifa. The Gemara quoted the ratio of that breita, and then it goes, oh, where does he know that treifa is mitaharata? That's the latter half of the breita in Torah Kohanim. He says, wait a minute, what happened to the Gemara here? Gemara knew the first half of the breita, didn't know the second half of the breita. It's laid out clearly in Torah Kohanim, that this Tana, in the end, comes back and explains where he knows shechita is mitaharata by the treifa. So he says, it's just a little funny that the Gemara is asking a question about a single breita, one being the first half, and the answer being the latter half of that breita. Bayirub Ahushaya, Hoshit it yado b'mei behema. He stick his hand into the behema, v'shechat ben tet chai. He does a shechita on a 9-month-old fetus. He shechs the fetus in the mother. This person has tremendous dexterity. He's an expert at shechita. He can do it with his hand inside the womb. He shechs this ben tet chai. What's the din? Mahu. What's the din here? Tibay le Rabbi Meir, v'tibay le Rabbanan. This is a shala both for Rabbi Meir and for the Rabbanan. Tibay le Rabbi Meir, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir ben kuata un shechita, hani milei hecha de yatzal avir olam. When Rabbi Meir says that a ben pekua, that means a fetus born to a mother who was nishchat, that fetus only requires shechita if it actually left the mother's womb. But as long as it's still contained within the mother's womb, it will not require shechita. Aval b'mei imo lo sharei le shechita. Inside the mother's womb, the shechita will not work on it. meaning that he believes that the Imo's Shkita does not have impact on the fetus, but now it needs Shkita. Well, if it needs Shkita, the Shkita that you're doing inside the mother is not called Shkita. And therefore, you have nothing. You can't do anything inside of the mother. Odilma, or maybe the other way around, Afilu Rabbanan, even according to the Rabbanan who say that you don't require Shkita, then Ben Bekuah never requires Shkita. Dalet Simanim Achsher Bei Rachmona. The Torah was matir for simanim. You have an option. This fetus actually has four simanim that you can check in order for it to be kasher. The possibility is either its own two simanim, the kaneh and the veshet, or its mother's kaneh and veshet. Whichever one you choose, you can do. So therefore, if the mother is yet to be shechted, then the fetus, you can shecht it inside of the mother, and that will work as well. Once the mother shecht it, obviously shechita is irrelevant to that fetus. But nevertheless, the Chachamim are going to suggest to us here that normally, yes, the mother's simanim protect or take care of the fetus. But if the mother's simanim have yet to be nishchat, then the fetus's simanim are still considered to be active, real, and you could check them and have that being shechita.
But the thought that we said about the Rav Meir, what was the position we were taking?
Rav Meir in general requires for a Ben Bekuah, something that exited its mother, even after the mother's been nishchat, that still requires that that animal get shechita. So therefore, normally he would say shechita is functional by this behema. The behema needs a shechita. But that may be only true when the animal leaves the mother, avir olam. But maybe when the fetus is inside the mother, shechita is irrelevant. It can't work. It doesn't work at all. Shechita is not relevant inside of the mother, and therefore you cannot be matir this behema. Because the mother's shechita doesn't help, and the fetus's shechita doesn't help.
So the question of Dilma now switches
to the side of the Chachamim. It doesn't give you the other side of Rabbi Meir. It's giving the two extremes, meaning that we know the position of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, it's swapping between. Maybe even in Rabbi Meir's side where he says Shechita works normally, here it won't work. The Chachamim will say Shechita normally doesn't work, maybe it will work here. So that's the two tzadim that they are using. So Amar Rav Chananya, Tashma. Harishalunda Trefa min abetin. What happens if you have a Trefa that was born min abetin? Vimita Mishkachad la dehaita l'shata kosher. In our Mishnah, during the argument that went back and forth, Chachamim originally introduced the point and said, listen, Trefa Yochiach, because Trefa had a Shata Kosher. So the Gemara says, what do you mean Trefa had a Shata Kosher? That's only if it was a Trefa later on in its life. But Trefa min abetin never had a Shata Kosher. Well, if you believe that the Chachamim think that there are four simanim to Shechtir, there is a possibility that even an animal born as a Trefa would also have a Shata Kosher. It became a trefa inside of its mother's womb, but prior to becoming a trefa inside its mother's womb, it had a shechta kosher. Because according to Chachamim, you could have shechted the fetus's simanim, and that would have worked. So it did have a shechta kosher. D by al yodei, could have stuck his hand in v'shachta. Samarle Rav, but we can solve that problem. Tani shenotzra trefa min abetin. Mean that it was conceived as a trefa. Not that it became a trefa while it's in its mother's womb, and therefore it had a shata kosher where you could have shechted it inside its mother's womb. It always was a trefa. It was notzar. I mean, it was conceived. Everything was a trefa from day one. Mishkachala, what's that case? Bebalatei raglayim. It has five legs. We're talking about here the rear legs, because the rear legs will make it a trefa when you have a fifth leg, whereas the four legs, if it had a fifth leg there, that would make it into a mum, not a trefa. Yitur kechaser dami, right, the yitur extra aver is like it's missing, so that's true by the hind legs. By the hind legs it's a trefa, by the four legs it's a mum, not a trefa. So, it'd have to be talking about here, an extra leg on the hind side, a fifth leg, and that was conceived that way. It didn't grow in the middle of its development inside of the mother, the fetus always had that fifth leg, and if it was a trefa mikara, and there's no shata kosher then. Alright, Mishnah. Ashuchet et abeima, umatzabash monachai. Checks the behema, opens it up, and there's a living 8-month-old fetus. Omeit. Or there's a dead fetus, 8 months old. O ben tisha mate. Or you have a 9-month-old that is dead, meaning went to full gestation, but it's found dead inside. Kur'o umotzi et damo. Then all you have to do for that fetus, the shechita of the mother took care of it, all you have to do for that fetus is drain its blood. Matzaba ben tishachai, if he found instead of a live 9-month-old fetus, ta'on shechita, number one, it requires shechita, because now this ben tisha, number one, is at full gestation, number two, it's sin avir olam. Now it's out in the open world. And according to Rabbi Meir, whose opinion we are reading right now, that will require shechita, V'chayav b'oto v'ed b'no. And similarly, its mother was nishchat that day, therefore you cannot be shochet the fetus, because that we have a problem with b'oto v'ed b'no, which are not allowed to shech b'yom echad, divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim, shechitat imo mitaharato. It's not relevant. The shechita of the mother is mitaharit this animal. In order for it to be classified its own status as an animal, you would have to have chodashim, full gestation, and leida, and a birth. It would have to be born in order to require shechita. This animal never was born. It was taken out of the mother. It was never born. Because the rabbani need full gestation plus leida in order to make it chayav shechita. Otherwise, the mother's shechita covers it. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, afilu ben chamesh shanim v'choresh b'sadeh. Even if it's born, meaning that it came out alive afterwards, the mother was shechted. This animal does not require shechita. 5 years later, this animal is growing up, plowing in the field. Shechita dimo mitaharato. Its mother shechita covered it. You can go and just pluck a leg, you know, take a raw leg off of this animal and it's yours to eat, because it's already nishchat, this animal. Gemara will ask, what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri and the Chachamim? He's saying the same thing, that shechita dimo mitaharato.
So in other words, it's not even a tar.
Correct. The animal is considered as if it's nishchat.
Goy can come to this ben pua.
No. See, that's right. That's very interesting. That ben kua for a goy will be Eivor Min HaChai. And for a Jew, he has a taratz shechita, because he's shaykh and din shechita. We had this earlier in the Gemara. When I talk about mifarkeset, the animal's flopping around after shechita. So the Gemara there discussed that for a Jew, it may be dead already, and it may not be Eivor Min HaChai anymore, because shechita oseh mita. Whereas for the goy, you have to wait until it stops flopping around, because shechita is not relevant, and death is relevant to him, not shechita. Eino chanami. Right, that was the machos ben Echira and Shechita in the Midbar. But that distinction will be drawn, but if they don't have a din in Shechita. So if something requires Shechita, for a Jew after Shechita, it may be classified as dead, period. Even though for the Goy, it might be still alive. Kara umatza ba ben tet chai. He ripped it open and found inside of it a bet ten chai. That means that they didn't do Shechita on the mother. They just ripped it open and took out a ben tet chai. Taun Shechita, v'lishon nishkata imo. It's obvious, right? It's... didn't have any shechita from its mother, it requires shechita, because now you have a full-fledged fetus. Now, even according to the Chachamim, we require leida. Over here, even though there's no leida, nevertheless, it will require shechita, because the mother's shechita was not there to take care of it. It needs at least one shechita. So here, it'll need its own shechita in order to be mitaharet. Amar Abelazar, Amar Abelshayo, lo hilchu bo el al iskei shechita bilvad. The Chachamim are mekel here only when it comes to shechita. Whereas other halachot are not true. So the mute mai. What's the mute over here? The mute chelbo v'gido. Comes to exclude the case of chelev and gid. Chelev being the fats that are asurim in the animal, as well as the gid and nasheh. So even though this animal does not require shkita, the Mishnah already said you got to drain the blood out of the animal. Nevertheless, it will require you to take out the fats that are normally asurim in an animal, and to take out the gid and nasheh. Gemara says, chelbo d'mai. What chelev are you talking about over here? Now what's interesting here is that this Gemara is lifted out of a Gemara further on, about 20 da from now. It's lifted out of a Gemara there. Rashi claims that a lot of this Gemara should not be in the Girsa, because it's obvious over here that we're talking about the chelev of the shalil. We're talking about the chelev of the fetus that's inside. So that's what should be obvious here. The Gemara's back and forth is relevant to the Gemara later on, not to our Gemara over here. Therefore, Rashi eliminates it from the Girsa, being one of the few places where the Gemara does not follow the Girsa of Rashi. The Ravenu Tam says, leave the Girsa in, because I can explain it this way. And it gives an explanation of how you can explain it, even fitting into our Gemara. But just being aware of the fact that this question of Chelbo Demai, according to Rashi, should not be in our Gemara. There should be no question about what Chelev we're talking about. It's obvious what Chelev we're talking about, and that's the next line in the Gemara. Ilema Chelbo Deshalil. If you're talking about the Chelev of the fetus, Miflag Plige. That we actually have a Machloket about. We mentioned this earlier in the Gemara, back on Samachtat, the Tanya. Gidan Asheh, Noeg b'shalil v'chelbo asur. Again, in the Tosefta, Gidan Asheh is not mentioned. It says that it's Noeg b'shalil, because we already know the reference point is Gidan Asheh. But Gidan Asheh is Noeg b'shalil, meaning you have to remove the Gidan Asheh from this fetus, v'chelbo asur. And it's Batzer asur, Dibri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir means, even though this doesn't require shechita, this fetus doesn't require shechita, it still has a problem of chelbo and Gidan Asheh. Yudomer, Yehuda says, no, this fetus has no din of Gidin Asheh, and has no din of Chelev. He does not require you to remove the Gidin Asheh, does not require you to remove the Chelev. This animal is Mutar the Gamri. Mutar the Gamri means everything inside of this animal. It'll have no requirements like a normal animal. Their machloket is talking about a live 9-month-old fetus. V'halach Rabbi Meir l'shitato. V'Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato. Rabbi Meir is l'shitato. Rabbi Yehuda is l'shitato. Rabbi Meir is l'shitato that says that it's a behema l'inyan shchita. That this requires shchita. Since it requires shchita, the shchita of the mother has no relevance to it. And therefore, if you need shchita of the animal itself, you also require the removal of the gidin asheh and the chilev. Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato, meaning the chachamim in our Mishnah, that a ben tet chai, if you do shchita and put the ben tet chai inside the mother, that ben tet chai is covered by the shchita of the mother. If it's covered by the shchita of the mother, this, it's mutar legamrei. It will not require the removal of the gidin asheh, will not require the removal of the chilev. It's as if it's a part, it's as if it's a limb of the mother. And if it's a limb of the mother, we'll have none of these other requirements like a regular behema. Again, the next part of the Gemara is eliminated by Rashi. This whole next three lines, four lines of the Gemara is eliminated by Rashi. Rabbein Tam leaves it in, which is Ella. What's the suggestion here? Chelbo de Gid. Tam at the Chelev around the Gid and Asheh. So the way the Gemara reads later on is, means this is of the mother. The Chelev around the Gid and Asheh of the mother. So that Gemara says, Mifla Plige. They argue about that as well. The Tanya, Gid and Asheh, Michatei Tachara B'chol Makom Shu. By the Gid and Asheh, not only you have to remove the Gid itself, you have to remove all the fats. You have to carve in, you have to dig in and take out all the fats that are around the Gid and Asheh. B'chotech Shmano Mi'ikaro. You have to eliminate all the fats Mi'ikaro from their roots, from their base. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Yehuda Meir, Gomomo Imashofi. Take it out with the hip area where you take out the Gid and Asheh. Whatever's around it, you take out. You don't have to go chase after all the fat that's inside. So over there as well, we have a machloka between them. That should not be relevant to our Gemara over here, because we're clearly talking about a fetus, and we're talking about an issue of a Benti Shachai. So that's why Rashi eliminates the Girsa. The Rabbeinu Tam rereads it and says that maybe we're talking about the Chelev of the Gid. That is talking about the Chelev of the Gid of the Shalil, of the Behema inside. I would have thought originally, okay, let's say that it eliminates all Chelev. All Chelev of Mutar say, no, we have a machloka between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, say, okay, fine. Maybe it means that all chelev is asur, but the chelev of the gid of this fetus should be mutar. Gemara says about that as well. We also have a machlokas about the chelev around the gid. And because Rabbi Meir says b'chol makom, it's referring not only to the mother, but the fetus as well. Anywhere there is a gid and asher that needs to be removed, the fats come out as well. So that's the way Rabbeinu Tam reads it to fit into our Gemara, even though really it's lifted out another Gemara. That shouldn't have relevance over here. You see the Girsa stayed in, which is interesting, because generally when Rashi says Hachi Garsina, our Gemara reflects that Girsa. Here it does not. Elayitmar Hachiitmar. Let's reword the position of Rabbi Lozam and Rabbi Oshaya. Lo hilchu bo el al iski achila bilvad. The Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda is matir or mekio when it comes to anything to do with eating. Lima'ute rov o v'choresh bo. It comes to exclude the issues of kilayim. Not allowed to mate it with something that is not its species. There's still a din of harva'ah, of kilayim. Revol could be over here, not just mixed breeding, but it also could be revol with bestiality, because that only applies to a live animal, not to a dead animal. V'choreshbo, shor v'chamor yachdav, you're not allowed to put them together. So too over here, there'll be a din of this ben p'kua, even though it doesn't require shchita, even though it has no din of chelev, even though it has no din of gidin asheh, nevertheless, it still has a din of being the species that which it comes from. And therefore, there'll be a problem of kilayim, of harba, and a problem of kilayim, of shor v'chamor, yachdav. It's a non-entity. It's not a behema anymore. It's not an animal. It's a limb of an animal. It's not a real animal. It's a walking dead animal. Walking dead, the kilayim doesn't apply to dead animals. Reviyah doesn't apply to dead animals. So that would be the avamina. Alright, so that's Avamina. The conclusion is no, that this animal has full status of an animal with regards to anything besides Achila. So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the Divrei Matir Bechelbo, Matir Bedamo. Whoever is Matir, the Chelev in this Behema, lets you drink the blood as well. The Divrei Oser Bechelbo, Oser Bedamo. Whoever says it's Asur, the Chelev, meaning Rabbi Meir, also says the Dam is Asur. Rabbi Yehuda, who is Matir, the Chelev, also would be Matir, the Dam. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, after Divrei Matir Bechelbo, Oser Bedamo. Yochanan says no. Even the one who says that Chelev is Mutar still says the Dam is problematic. Our Mishnah, the first part of our Mishnah, we have either ben shchuna chay or mate, or a ben tisha mate. Over there it says you take out the fetus, you open it up, and you got to drain the blood. So when he says that he has to drain out the blood, it means that the problem of the blood is not a blood of a live animal, not a blood of dama nefesh, where you would get karet. But it's a dam, a tamsit. It's some other dam that's left over in the animal, which would have a lav associated with that. So Reb Zeira says, you got to drain the blood, because otherwise you have an Isur lav. So now the answer to that is that not
that the dam is mutar legamre, but rather the dam has an Isur lav associated with it. Don't say, when I say that the person who says that chelev is mutar also thinks that dam is mutar, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, who says the chelev is mutar also thinks the dam is mutar legamre. No, he thinks that the dam has an iser lav associated with it, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, who believes since the chelev is asur, the dam is like dam a nefesh, and therefore the dam has an iser karet associated with it, not just an iser lav.
The man kamre, who is this according to in the Mishnah? The Rabbi Yehuda. If it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, lo yele dam tamtzit. It'll be like dama tamtzit. The Tanya, dama tamtzit bazhara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer bi'ikaret. Dama nefesh is the life force blood. So you're saying this animal is no longer alive, so it doesn't have dama nefesh. So then you have dama tamtzit, which is the blood that is not the life force of the animal. So what's the din of dama tamtzit? So that's a machloket in the Gemara and Kvitut. Dama tamtzit, according to most, is considered to be an azhara, it's a lav. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, dama tamtzit is hikaret, is a din in karet. So if that's the case, in our Mishnah, when it says you got to drain the blood, for who do you need to drain the blood? Because who's the one who's matir chelev? Rabbi Yehuda. So if it's Rabbi Yehuda, even worse. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a chiyuv karet. Because it's no worse than dam matamtzit. If it's no worse than dam matamtzit, it has a din of karet. So if that's the case, Rish Lakish, how do you explain our Mishnah? You said, according to the one who says that chelev is mutar, dam is mutar. I don't find that in our Mishnah.
If you're going to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda, because he says the chelev is mutar, therefore he downgrades it to an iser lav, not an iser karet, Rabbi Yehuda the Shitato says that dam is an iser karet. So how do you, Reish Lakish, explain this Mishnah according to the way that you have presented the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda?
So Targama Rabbi Yosef, Pered Rav Salah Chasida, Kamed Rav Papa, Itle the Rabbi Yehuda dam, V'chol dam. So no, Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that dam atamsit is chayev karet? Because it says in the pasuk that anybody who eats dam will be chayev karet, and it uses the riboy of kol. So then the kol is mirabe dam atamsit. So dam atamsit is miruba ayidei the kol, the extra kol by dam. Kol dam, all dam, not just dam anefesh, but kol dam. Therefore, kol hechad de mechayev dam anefesh, mechayev dam atamsit. So what we can learn from this is that Tama Tamsit only has relevance when Tama Nefesh has relevance. Anywhere where Tama Nefesh is irrelevant, Rabbi Yehuda will not be Mechayev Tama Tamsit. That would be the answer for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who says Rabbi Yehuda says that the Chelev is Mutar, the Dam is also Mutar. How could he say that? Tama Tamsit, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a din in karet. The answer is, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that Tama Tamsit has a din in karet? Because you include it from Tama Nefesh. Well, now we know everybody agrees that there's no dama nefesh here. Because we see from the Mishnah Rabbi Zera says that it's a din in halav, not in karet, meaning that it's not dama nefesh. So if it's dama tamtzit, according to Yehuda, it should be karet. The answer is, there is no dama nefesh by this fetus. If there is no dama nefesh, then you can't include dama tamtzit from dama nefesh. Because dama nefesh doesn't have relevance, then dama tamtzit doesn't have relevance to this behemah.
Part of the mother, then the only reason there's no dama nefesh is because
agreed. I think that you have to say that it's not dam at all. That it's just one big limb sitting inside the mother. One big limb that has no separate part. It has no chelev. It has no gira nashe. It has no dam. Alright. If you have a petor chamor can be nifde b'seh. It can be redeemed by a seh. So what happens if you have a ben pikua seh? Rashi over here says what you have a seh that was born after, in Rashi the girsa is 9 months, but everybody corrects it to be 5 months, because we will remember in Becholot that the gestation for cattle is 9 months, but for seh are only about 5 months, so it's here talking about a 5 month that was a ben pekuah. Can you use that as a redemption? Now, if you use a seh to redeem the petar chamor, it does not have to match the value of the chamor. Doesn't matter if it's equal or less value than the chamor, you just give a seh and the chamor is done. But if you don't use a seh, you have to redeem it at its full value. What's the status of this ben pekuah? Is it a status of a seh? Therefore, you can give it to redeem the chamor irrespective of its value. Or, now, do you have to look at the value of the animal because it's being used as money to redeem it, not as a seh to redeem it. Aliba de Rabbi Meir lo tibayla. According to Rabbi Meir, there's no question here, because according to Rabbi Meir, ben tishachai is a full-fledged behemah that requires shechita. Tekeim and damar tun shechita sem al yahu. It's no question according to Rabbi Meir. Kikai bailach, where's the question comes up? Aliba de Rabbanon. Comes up. The amrei shechita timo mitaharato. The shechita of the mother is mitaharit, my. It's like having meat in a basket, meaning that you're using it as monetary exchange. Oduma came into Rahit Vazil. Since it can run out, Raivati, and comes back, Sekrinambe. What do you call something that runs around like that? You don't call that meat in a basket. You call that a seh. Everybody who looks at it is going to call it a seh. So maybe that's good enough to redeem it. Marzutra ma impodim. Marzutra says you can't do it. Ravashi ma podim, you can do it. Amalei Ravashi the Marzutra, my datech. What's your position? The Gemara said, seh mi psachim. You're going to learn how to gzeira shav between seh by petach hamor from the seh by psachim. So by seh psachim, we know it has to be imalahalan zachar tamim ben shana. By the pesach, it has to be zachar tamim ben shana. Rashi claims that the issue here is by kochim, a yotzei dofen is classified as being pasul the kochim. So this ben tkua is no better than a yotzei dofen. It wasn't born. So if it wasn't born, then it's pasul the kochim. So just like it's pasul by psachim, it should also be pasul over here by the redemption of the petach hamor. That's one possibility. The other possibility, the way Tosafot learns it is, just like by a pesach, it has to be alive. How do you know it has to be alive? Because the korban has to be alive. So too over here, you have to have a live seh. And this is not classified as a live seh. Avkan, zachar tamim ben shana. So when it says, tifteh, tifteh riba. The pasuk by the redemption of the petach hamor by the seh says, tifteh twice, riba. Comes to include even this type of seh. E tifteh, tifteh riba, filu kol milei nami. Then why are you only including this ben pekua? Include everything. Im kein seh seh, my hanilach. Seh seh has to come to exclude something. Has to exclude something and include tifteh tifteh is including it. So he includes the ben pekua, which looks like a seh, is a seh, just has a technical detail that doesn't have shechita associated with it, versus other items that are not classified as a seh. Alright, ibayluhu. Ma'olim nopo rishon v'sheni. What about when it comes to tumah? How do we look at this fetus inside when it comes to tumah? Rishon v'sheni means, is it considered to be a separate entity from the mother? Therefore the tumah touches the mother, then it touches his behemah, it drops down the level of tumah. Or is it a singular unit with the mother? And therefore, whatever the mother is tamei, so too the fetus is tamei. Which would mean, Rabbi Yochanan Ramonim bo rishon b'sheni. It's considered to be a separate entity inside. Since it's a separate entity, if the mother becomes tamei, that level of tumah is dropped down one level when it touches the fetus. Shemelakish omer in monim bo rishon b'sheni. No, it's the same. It's a singular unit with its mother. Naseke goes, hamit kashkesh beklipato. It's like a walnut, a nut inside of its shell. So this is the equivalent of this fetus inside of its mother. It's like a walnut in its shell. Etevei Reb Shimon Leos Rabbi Yochanan Abasar Magad Nevela Divrei Rabbi Meir V'chomim Ramim Magad Shreifa Shchuta. So in our Mishnah we said before, when you have this aver that went out and then was retracted, and then you shecht it, the mother, and then you have to slice that aver off, the remaining behemah is Magad Nevela or Magad Shreifa Shchuta. Bishlam Didi Achad Gufahu, I who say that the mother and the fetus are one unit, Hanu Itkasha B'dama Dimei. The Dam Shchita will be Machshirit the Kabel Tumah. So the Dam is Machshir the mother, it also will be Machshir the fetus, because they're one unit. El Didach, according to you, that they're separate entities, but Ma'it Kasher, where's the Echshir here? So he's Amalei B'Shchita. The Shchita is Machshir the Kabel Tumah, called Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need the Dam to Machshir. The Shchita itself is Machshir the Behemah to Mekabel Tumah. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yochanan asks back to Reish Lakish. Avar Benar, Huchshar. If it went through a river, it's Huchshar the Kabel Tumah. Halach the Beit HaKvarot, Nitma. It goes into the cemetery, it becomes Tamei. That they're separate entities. Since the mother and the fetus are separate entities, the fetus needs its own hechsher, the kabel tumah. That's why it needs to go through the river in order to become hechsher, the kabel tumah. It already was nitkasher with the mother's blood. Why does the fetus need a separate hechsherah? It says, b'shchita yveshta ugdolo Rabbi Shimon. It was a dry shchita where there was no blood. So there's no hechsher for the mother. And it's not like Rabbi Shimon says shchita is machshirit. So there was no hechsher for the mother, therefore there was no hechsher for the fetus. And that's why the fetus now needs its own hechsher, the kabel tumah. We'll stop over here.